stimulus in Japan gets a political stimulus.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. After elections in Japan, the government of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will now control both houses of parliament. What does this mean for the radical experiment that's been breathing life into decades of economic stagnation in Japan? The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes joins us from Tokyo. Morning, Rupert.
Good morning.
Japan's prime minister and his political party have just accrued an enormous amount of political power. When it comes to the Japanese economy, Rupert, what are they going to do with this power?
Well, Mr. Abe, the prime minister, has again restated today after his victory that he is committed to deep and serious structural reform of the Japanese economy. He has essentially concluded that Japan has to reform, otherwise it will never get out of its 20-year-long economic stagnation. What does that mean? Well, it means that as soon as tomorrow, Japan will enter into trade negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership with the United States and other Pacific Rim countries. And that is a big step for Japan. It means that Japan will be forced to open up its markets to greater competition.
Now, Prime Minister Abe also wants to sweep away some post-World War II limits on Japan's military?
That's right. Mr. Abe is, by his nature, a right-wing nationalist, and he believes that the peace imposed on Japan by the United States after World War II was unjust, and he wants to make Japan into what he calls a normal country with a normal military and a normal ability to defend itself. Many people here, including people in the American government, are not really opposed to that. What they're worried about is the fact that Mr. Abe and many of his supporters have very revisionist views about history, and they basically don't believe that Japan really was the aggressor in World War II.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo, thank you. Now let's do the numbers. Following the election, Japan's Nikkei index rose 0.5%. The FT 100 in London is down 0.2%. They can't do better than that with a royal baby on the way. Stock index futures in the U.S. are up right now. Question about taxes today. He'll cheer you up to know the IRS will be answering the phone. Workers had been scheduled to be on furlough because of the federal sequester. But the agency now says it's cut costs enough to stay open one more day. As Sarah McCammon reports, that doesn't necessarily hold true for other parts of the government.
Only some agencies are furloughing workers. It's not an issue if you're at the Departments of Agriculture or Health and Human Services, for instance. But if you're a civilian working for the Defense Department, you'll be taking off 11 days, unpaid, between July and September. Commander Leslie Holride says those workers aren't even supposed to check in remotely.
They cannot answer their BlackBerries. They cannot answer their email.
The IRS is down from 5 days to no more than 4. In the long run, furloughs could be more expensive than staying open, says tax consultant and former IRS commissioner Mark Everson.
You end up with fewer audits. You end up with less in the way of collection activities. You have fewer people on the phones to answer questions that taxpayers have.
And fewer tax collections overall. At the Department of Housing and Urban Development, employees are off today, their fourth of 7 scheduled furlough days. A spokesman says there are no plans to change that. I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Welfare. For those who want to move off government assistance, there can be barriers. Car breaks down, can't get to work, or the backup babysitter falls through. A company in Grand Rapids, Michigan, came up with a solution. Dustin Dwyer from Michigan Radio's State of Opportunity Project explains.
In 1998, Amy Valdez was a single mom with 3 kids, all under the age of 7. She had no work experience. She lived with her sister. So she went to sign up for government assistance. But instead of welfare benefits, she got a job on the factory floor.
I was very hesitant at first, you know, because I was always with my kids and I was worried about transportation, daycare, all kinds of stuff, you know.
She took the job. Soon she was working 12-hour days and coming in on weekends. She thought about quitting.
because the work is so difficult. I'd never worked before. And then the long hours.
The reason she didn't quit and didn't end up back on public assistance has a lot to do with the company she worked for. Around the time Valderas arrived, Cascade Engineering in Grand Rapids, Michigan, was starting a new program called Welfare to Career. What made the program different is Cascade actually paid the state of Michigan to bring a public caseworker to the company.
And once I came on site and started doing this work, I felt like I was really making a difference in people's lives.
That caseworker is Joyce Gutierrez. She says that by being at the company, she hears about problems sooner. She knows when one of her clients misses work, and if it's because of a problem with transportation or childcare, she solves it on the spot. Cascade CEO Fred Keller says after Gutierrez came on site, Cascade's worker turnover rate dropped to almost nothing. So the company benefited, and the state had fewer people cycling back onto welfare rolls.
We think we have social problems that can be solved by business and not cost anything to speak of for the business itself. Why not do that?
After 15 years, Cascade's approach is gaining traction. It's been replicated at 8 other companies, and the state of Michigan is even expanding on the idea by starting to place caseworkers in public schools. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, I'm Dustin Dwyer for Marketplace.
Portrait of the American on vacation. Swimsuit, sunscreen, and sand. Squinting at the smartphone as our supposed vacationer scans PDFs from the office. A new survey finds that 61% of Americans plan to do work during their vacation. Harris Interactive finds that's up sharply from 52% last year. Why? Many are still afraid of being out of the loop in an economy where we can be replaced. And remember, never use vacation to step back to think creatively about better ways to get the job done. What's the point of that? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.